What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Jessie May. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. It's so funny. What the fuck? Who is this? No, thank you. I am recording a podcast and I'm uploading a video. People are interrupting me. I'm a busy bitch. I think it's so funny that Whitney Cummings' podcast, her like little intro sound is bop, bop, bop. And mine is beep, 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 beep. That's really funny. Great minds think alike. You should check out her podcast. Good for you. Very, very funny. Funny, funny lady. But now you're at the Sharp Tongue Podcast, and I appreciate you. And we have videos available now, exclusive videos available on my Patreon page. You probably know. Patreon.com/JessieMayPeluso to view this podcast episode's video and all the other ones. Lots of fun. Posting all sorts of fun videos, random things, polls, things of that nature. Lots of fun fucking shit for you guys. I want to give a shout out to, let's see, Andrew Williams, Ashley Dahl, Austin Severson, Carol. Carol's up on the Patreons. Debbie Delaroso, look at her supporting. Giselle Roy. Who else do we have? Jeron Ski Rat. Skrat? What is that name? I appreciate you. As always, Johnny C, for your support. I appreciate you. We've got my mom. See, if my mom's on Patreon, you guys can be on Patreon. My girl Shannon B's up in the Patreon. Let's see, giving some shout outs to you guys. I appreciate you so much. Zachary Rice, thank you guys for your support. Those are just a few people who have been supporting the Patreon from day one. Oh, geez. Appreciate you guys. And if you want to watch Bong in a Movie, our videos will be coming out very soon. That's going to be available on YouTube. I'm so excited. The first movie is Battlefield Earth. The audio is available on this podcast, but the video will be available. Hopefully, it's going to be done this week. I'm having an amazing graphic artist create an intro. We're making it a legit show. It's going to be out weekly. It was Rogan's idea, and I am so excited. It's been a fun venture. And honestly, who doesn't want a reason to like smoke a bong and watch a movie? So if you're like, what the fuck is bong in a movie? It's my new show that's coming out. I'm going to be smoking a bong, watching a movie. It's a movie companion episode. So basically, you queue up the movie of the week, which will be predetermined. And we'll queue it up on the show, and you can watch me discuss it, or you can listen to me discuss it. It's like a director's cut, but with my loud ass crazy mouth giving you my opinions on the episode, or not the episode of the movie. So those will be available weekly on my YouTube page, youtube.com/JessieMayPeluso. And thank you for all of you new people. I have so many new subscribers. Thanks to Rogan. His reach is so far, and I feel so grateful that you guys are here with me. Thank you to my new YouTube subscribers, and obviously my new Patreon subscribers, and all of you guys who have been supporting me from day one. It means the world. We're in a weird time right now, and I know a lot of you guys are probably struggling. I'm experiencing my own struggles, so I'm happy to provide you with weekly entertainment. And by you supporting me, I'm able to do that. So thank you so much. I feel like one fortunate bitch. I really, really do. It feels good to know I've got an audience still and you guys are going on this quarantine ride with me. And you know what? I think it's a successful day. Let's see. It's 3:09 Pacific time here. I haven't had a fucking drop of alcohol. And that's pretty impressive. But also I feel like a failure that I haven't. So I'm going to have to get a glass of wine. You guys know I'm going to have to get a glass of wine. You know it's going to be our daily red. It's going to be delicious. I feel like day drinking is a necessity. And I'm not condoning alcoholism. Please control yourself. Figure out your limit. But if a bitch wants a glass of wine at like noon or even 11:30, go ahead. Go ahead, girl. Get that fucking wine. Put those feet up. Read that book that's been sitting on your nightstand for 14 years. And do a little you time. It's okay to take a little you time. And have a little fun. Speaking of fun, this episode is so much fun. It's with my podcast partner, my work husband, the one, the only Mark McGrath's bottom from SiriusXM, Mr. Mike Tully.
Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Okay, you ready to start this show? Your host of the evening is a really funny dude. I forgot his last name, but I've seen him before, and he's really funny. Give it up for Mike.
Coming to you live on tape from week 11 of quarantine from an above-ground basement in rapidly gentrifying Culver City adjacent California, boasting stylish and tasteful white wall-to-wall carpeting. This is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully, joining me today once again from her pants-optional Los Angeles home studio, the host of the Sharp Tongue Podcast, the stand-up comedy world's resident cool stoner aunt, the people's champ, hello and welcome back, comedian Jessie Mae Peluso.
Oh, comedian, you're so yep. PC. I just can't be comedian. We got to have actors and actresses. It's got to be... What? How do you know how I identify now, Tully? How do you know I'm not... whatever the, you know, how do you know how I identify in 2020?
See, I actually feel like I'm bucking the PC trend by calling you comedian, because I know that you're kind. People who identify as ladies don't care for that.
You know, it's not so much that I don't care for it. I don't see the necessity. I guess regular people need the label. I just get stressed out with all the labels.
I think it's fun and old-timey, and I introduce everybody in the most old-timey way I possibly can. I call comedians funny man, and I would stick an Esquire on the end of your name if I had the slightest idea what that meant.
I really enjoy, I enjoy your intros, and I also enjoy, you know, it's a surprise every time. I'm the cool stoner aunt. I'll take that.
I think it's the role you were born to play.
I do too. You know, when I go visit my sister, I'm like the Zen, which is strange to be, because I'm not normally Zen in any other aspect of my life, but I go there and I'm like, everybody chill out. Mom, take an edible. Kids, chill out. Everybody just chill the fuck out.
It's funny because you would have, in an earlier, simpler time, been the aunt that would have not given kids weed, but smoked the first joint with them.
Yes, I'm but that now, person.
Like, you are that person, but that is a role that we no longer need in our society. Kids can get their hands on.
Did you just tell me I'm no longer needed in society?
I'm just saying kids can get their own drugs.
Well, they can, but do we want them to? You know, I'm going to be that aunt that's like, hey, come into the basement.
Right. Because it's not so much about being the drug dealer. It's about being the drug Sherpa.
I am my niece and nephew's drug Sherpa.
They just don't know it yet. Or maybe they do. I don't know.
I mean,
how old are they?
2 and 4. So it's,
yeah, no,
we're getting
there. You shouldn't be Sherpa-ing them just yet.
You stick to your side of town and I'll stick to my side of town. Okay. I mean, what's difference besides...
My daughter keeps stealing beer, and I still feel like she's a little young.
Oh, it's cute. Give her a little sip. My dad used to give me sips of his beer. Yeah,
but that's the thing, is a sip's not enough for her.
Well, she's got a problem. She probably should get into the 12-step program.
Given that she weighs about, like, 27 pounds, I don't even feel good about watching her finish the whole beer we give her.
I remember what beer tasted like as a kid. I remember my dad serving me beer and being like, this is gross, but I think it's going to be my friend one day. I think I'm really going to enjoy it. That's so fucking funny.
I love when you get those, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Were you ever a smoker?
No. Oh, okay. I had a pack of menthol, or like marble menthols for a week in high school. Yeah, I thought I was so cool. I was like, come on. I wasn't even inhaling. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a smoker. I picked up a habit.
I'm just so stressed, man. Finals.
Yeah, God, life is so hard. You know, I mean, what kind of cheese am I going to put in my sandwich? And like, I haven't even sucked a dick yet. So I'm just like putting this in my mouth.
Because every now and again with a cigarette, and I think every cigarette smoker would know what I'm talking about as someone who was habitually for a long time and then finally cut it out. Every now and again, you would get a hit that would taste like one of your first early cigarettes. And I still get that with beer sometimes too. Every now and again, it doesn't matter like what brand it is you're drinking or whatever. You just get a sip and you're like, this is what OG beer tasted like. Do you ever get that?
I mean, I think addicts get that. And I think it's the reward to your habitual behavior. It's just kind of like your brain being like, hey, remember this old friend? Remember this? We should start this at 8 a.m. So is this your way of coming out?
All over again. I guess so.
Are you Gary Busey?
You know, it's funny because when I would go to the doctor when I was a young person, when I really did drink an awful lot, but not a whole lot more than most people that I knew in New York, I always kind of prided myself on being frank with, you know, you'd fill out the form when you went to a new doctor and it'd be like, do you smoke? And I'd be like, yeah. And they're like, how much? And I would tell them the honest answer. And then they would say, do you drink? And of course I said yes. And then they'd say, how many drinks per week? And I'd add it up and I'd be like, 40? Which was like a legitimate.
Jesus, and then you immediately told your doctor the doctor the truth.
I mean, that's the funny thing is they can't handle the truth. They really cannot handle.
Our healthcare system can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
Forget the doctors. They don't want to know.
20-something functional alcoholism.
It's such a beautiful thing, though. Isn't it drinking in your 20s? What a beautiful gift. Because by the time you get to your mid-30s, your liver's like, mm-mm. Like, I had a glass and a half of wine last night. I woke up this morning. I felt like a fucking truck had run me over. What?
Well, you look great.
I'm glowing. I'm glowing from the inside. It's probably the wine acids burning away my pigment, but I'll go with it. I'm running That's with great. It. I'm feeling mm-hmm. good. You
Are
know
you
what I learned?
Good?
I am what? Feeling good. Good. You know what I learned today? I did a little Googling. I share a birthday with Mickey Rourke.
You know what's funny?
That I look like him when I wake up? That's the funny part.
No, that you said Mickey Rourke, but I heard Mickey Rooney.
You did?
Yeah.
Who's Mickey Rooney?
Would that have been better? You don't know who Mickey Rooney is?
Oh, Mickey Rooney, the old guy. He was so cute.
Mickey Rooney is a 2-foot-tall man who was the biggest movie star in the world from like 1938 to 1941.
Oh, and he was just so adorable. And as a young boy, he was adorable. He was an adorable man. Look at his little face. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Look at that.
He was America's co-sweetheart along with, I think, him and Shirley Temple made movies
yes,
together.
There's him and Shirley Temple right here. Oh, wait, no, that's Judy Garland. That's him and Judy Garland.
Oh, maybe it was him and Judy Garland that made, they were like a
comedic duo. They were very funny together. Is that you and I? Are you Mickey Rourke? No, I'm Mickey Rourke. You're Mickey Rooney. Who's your celebrity doppelganger?
Oh, I know the answer to this. Now, you're going to laugh at me when I tell you the first one because it's the more well-known one. Because I know I don't look like this person, but I have been compared more than once, not many times, but more than once to Ed Norton.
There's a iota of resemblance, like a small, maybe him fresh out of rehab. You got
that
vibe.
He and I have parted. I think it may have been more true at a certain point in each of our distant pasts.
I can't see who else have people told you because I can't see.
Okay,
maybe a methy Ben Affleck.
Methy? He's the methy Ben Affleck. Oh.
By the way, kids, don't smoke weed.
Seriously, you can tell me how you don't smoke again, Wheezy Jefferson. I was like a tritone wheeze. It was like a Gregorian choral. Harmony wheeze.
It sounded like three different creatures coming out of my throat.
Three different creatures, like the emphysema boys choir. Okay. Who I look like is, and we'll do you after this, is...
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I look like one of the... Do you know the Duplasses?
Who... Your references are so specific. Who
I'm
is that?
I'm just telling you that I led with Ed Norton because I know I don't look like him, but you know what? When Gladiator first came out, right when I stopped shaving, and more than one person told me, they're like, you look like that guy from that movie, that Gladiator.
Gerard Which Butler?
No.
He was the Gladiator.
No, he was not.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of 300. Yeah. Same role, different
now,
movie.
Now, when I take my shirt off, I'm often compared to Gerard Butler in 300.
Okay.
Now, so Russell Crowe, people told me for a minute, which is ludicrous, and Ed Norton, people have told me, which is ludicrous, but
That's so weird.
Like there's two movie-making Duplass brothers. There's Mark and then the other one, and you can look him up, and I've interviewed him before.
Duplass brothers. I'm looking them up right now. Whoa. Oh, yeah. I know them. This mm-hmm. guy's face, it's just the kind of face you kind of want to punch, though, a little bit.
I would like to think that my expression is not as frequently punchable as his, but I could be wrong.
You don't have this punchable of a face, either one. Both of them, I want to give them a hard closed fist right to the chin.
Right, but I think that's just because I'm a failure. I think if I had...
Also, known,
if I were a Hollywood wonder kid darling who could snap my finger and get things made, you might catch me making a "that's right, motherfucker" face in my press photo as well.
You might, but have you ever? Who hugs their brother like this?
It's really weird.
It's so weird.
I don't have a brother, but if I did, I wouldn't touch him.
They like paid a photographer to take pictures of them hugging each other. It's really cute. I'm projecting. I've been told I look like a bunch of different people. I'm interested to see who you think I look like because you've seen me in the flesh.
I have. We've met in real life.
Yeah, we're real friends.
One of the great thrills of my life.
We're real friends who only see each other in podcasting form.
Wait, let me tell you one more, though, because you know who I really, really look like is, you know, Chris O'Dowd?
You do look like Chris. Okay, that one makes sense.
I even have the same like fucked up, weird, like broken but never actually broke it Irish nose.
Yeah, your nose was never broken. I assumed it got punched in high school.
Okay, here's what's funny about that. Kind of. So you've assumed that I have a broken nose because I can either we're on video right now. Either I can look at you or my nose can look at you, but I can't do both at the same time, right?
You got a strong beak. It's a good feature.
Kind of a Roman nose for somebody who's 100% Irish.
This is definitely a doppelganger. Look at that.
Yeah, O'Dowd. Yeah.
For
Eyes
sure.
Eyes kind of close together. He's just a bigger me.
Yeah, you guys have the same nose.
He could be, if we did, if I for some reason got like a Everybody Loves Mike, he could be my Brad Garrett easily.
I mean, look at him here. You guys could be brothers here. Look at this.
Oh, there's so many drunk photos of me that where I'm making that exact same punchable face.
Yeah, I mean Chris O'Dowd.
Is it just Chris Dowd? I don't know.
Oh, Chris O'Dowd. He's definitely a day drinker. He's got the face of a day drinker, and I'm not judging.
Did you ever watch IT Crowd? That show's phenomenal.
I haven't, but I heard it's good.
It's really, really good. That's his British sitcom.
Oh, okay. We need more of those.
I had a point.
We were talking. You didn't tell me. You have to tell me who I look like.
You.
I hear another child screaming in the background.
You for sure do. It's that time of the day. It's the witching hour.
You can never be a cam girl. You're like, oh, yeah. And in the background saying, I'm not mommy.
See, the funny thing is I thought the kids screaming in the background was going to be a drawback when I started camming. But it just... In this day and age, man, it's just about finding your niche and hammering it.
Yeah. If your butthole's your niche, hammer it.
Yeah. My niche is getting bigger all the time.
So is mine. I mean, you're preaching to the choir.
What celebrities have you been?
Do you want me to tell you who I've been told?
Compared to, because I'm always, you can't do this to women because even if I were, if I go too attractive, like if I just say, oh, you look exactly like, you know, I don't know, like.
J-Lo, I know. You can say it.
If I just
everyone
say
says
like,
J-Lo.
Like Neve Campbell, like you're not going to believe me.
Gross. I mean, first of all.
The thing. If I just say something stupid.
Campbell? Can I get like an updated one? Can I get J-Lo?
Is she? Well, I guess she is current again, but.
I look just like her.
their respective heydays overlapped quite a bit. You can't win comparing women to anything, and I just realized that belatedly, and I'm not going to fall into this trap.
You can't. It's such a good point. You cannot. Women will find a way to be offended by anything you say. If you say we look good, we're right. Like, why? You never say that. Why do I look good? What's so good about how I look? No, tell me. I want to know how I look good. Right. It's really strange. I'll take right. compliments.
No, you're like complimenting women is like complimenting Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
God, is this your quarantine material? It's true though. It's fucking true. If you guys aren't familiar with that scene, you might want to check it out. It's a good movie.
Oh yeah, we're recommending Goodfellas officially.
Absolutely, and you can't watch it on TV. Not that anybody can do that anymore, but you need the swear words.
Yep.
I'll take a compliment. I'm not that girl. Like, I'll take a compliment. I don't care if it comes from a child with special needs or a homeless person. They mean it. They have heart. I'll take it from anybody. I'm not, you know.
Tell me what you've heard, and I'll honestly give you a...
I've heard, the most I've heard is Sandra Bullock. I've heard Sandra Bullock for years. I also have heard Bridget Fonda.
Fonda?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wait, a little bit here. I also have heard, who's a chick from Natural Born Killers? Juliette Lewis?
Oh, that we're getting warmer now. I would say Fonda third, Sandy second.
Elijah Dukuthu?
Hollywood legend, Elijah Dukuthu.
Eliza Kushduth? Elijah is a douche? What's her name? Elijah Kudu?
Eliza Dushku.
Dushku? Oh wait, no, that's not the one.
I'm sure it's Dushku.
Not Eliza, the girl who played the girl next door. Do you remember that movie?
Nope. Elisa Cuthbert.
You say no, and then you come with the name. I knew you'd remember.
Is that right?
Yes. Of course,
really?
It's right.
I have so much information in my brain that I wish I could scalpel out so that I could replace it with things that I need to remember and cannot. Like, I don't know who Elisa Cuthbert is. Nope, the photo means absolutely nothing to me. I have
this
no
is
so,
idea. But does it look like me though?
No. That looks like the chick from Homeland with a butt chin implant.
Well, I'm looking to get one of those for sure.
You would, you know,
I don't think Sandra Bullock? Let me pull her up.
I just watched for the Jason Ellis show. I just watched for the first time Demolition Man. So I know exactly what what the original Sandra Bullock looked like before.
I mean, come on, Tully.
Do you want to look like Sandra Bullock? Yes, you look precise. Oh my, wait, is that a photo of you that you're showing me right now?
That's Sandra Bullock.
Oh, that's Sandra Bullock? Wow, I guess I'd never noticed what a stunning similarity there was.
You know,
now there you are. Now I get it, yeah.
Sometimes I forget that your sarcasm is so good. I was like, yeah, it's Sandra Bullock. Like, yeah, like I believed you didn't think it was Sandra Bullock. And I'm going to take it.
That's charming.
And I'm going to shove it deep down in that dark spot that I need to have fulfilled. Okay, now here's something that really looks like me. This was her character from, what was that movie with that big mic? Remember for that football movie?
Oh, yeah. I read that. Yeah.
It was a book, right?
Big Fat Left Tackle.
That's not the name of the movie.
My
big fat Greek tackle.
African-American son.
What was that fucking movie?
The Blind Side is what
it
was called.
The Blind Side, yes. I looked like her for years from The Blind Side.
I'm still getting more of the Natural Born Killer lady.
Juliette Lewis, let's pull her up.
You can't help it that when somebody's like their energy is somewhat similar to the, because I don't think your energy is very similar to Sandra Bullock's, but I could definitely see you robbing a gas station with a shotgun.
Like that energy.
There you go.
I could definitely, you know, maybe pass as a murderer. Is that what you're saying? I don't look anything like her. Here's her with Brad Pitt. She was such a babe when she was
look at
Brad Pitt.
That photo that we're looking at right now, which almost nobody can see but us, that is far and away the closest photo to you.
Thank you. That's when she was like 20, so thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You have a very youthful energy about you, and I think that's something I associate with her, is that she has like a youthful joie de vivre that she carries with her even in her advancing years.
A joie de vivre? I'm sorry. Do we speak French on the clap now? The clap. Now, here's the thought. I think that the CLAP, I think it should be an acronym. Something, something, something podcast.
Oh, right.
The
cool.
Cool.
Loving. Lesbian.
The cool lesbian.
Coronavirus.
There's only one. There's only. Okay. Coronavirus. The coronavirus
latte
leaking ad podcast.
I hate when people work backwards on acronyms. It's a pet peeve of mine.
What do you mean?
Like when that?
Like, okay, now we'll leave it up to the listeners. You guys, if you want to come up with what the clap could stand for, you have to send it to us after Tully posts this episode.
Like the DARE program. Did you have DARE when you were in school?
Yeah, like. But here's the thing.
Like, it was drugs are...
Really?
Really. There's got to be a bad in
excellent.
There somewhere.
Excellent. Drugs,
like, drugs are really excellent.
I'm sure we all... really excellent. It was the... what was it?
Come drug on. Avoidance.
Drug and the drug something for... Oh, I can't believe I have to Google this.
You knew? I never knew.
You never knew? Okay, I'm gonna type up DARE meaning, and I'm gonna guess it. The drug awareness. What would R stand for? Real election.
Responsibility.
The drug.
Like maybe it could have been like drug awareness, responsibility, and. But nothing starts with E, man.
What would E be? What would the
drugs
E
are
be?
So good.
The what drug awareness get? Friendship expedition. The drug abuse resistance education. See, all now right. here's an argument.
They made it work.
I don't know what came first, the acronym or the word DARE, because I doubt they were like, I dare ya. I doubt they started with DARE.
It was DARE to keep kids off drugs. Which also is really clunky, but that was the whole thing.
It is clunky because you're challenging me. Do you not know anything about a growing human? We love challenges. It's all we face all the time. It's just growing
right.
is one big challenge.
I'm gonna jump off those monkey bars and then I'm going to smoke some angel dust.
Childhood. Childhood could be the C. The C for clap could be childhood. Oh, Tully, I know what the C stands for. Are you ready? Chock full of nuts. Is that too much?
Maybe we can get them to sponsor us.
That would be great. You guys have to tell us what the clap should stand for. We'll let you do it. The P should be podcast, but the CLA is up for debate.
Yeah. The P seems like it's sort of spoken for.
I love a good acronym. No, I don't know why. Because it's a challenge. It's a fucking challenge.
Yeah, it's... I
are you going to dare your kids to stay off drugs?
No, I'm not. I actually often think about how I'm going to ease them into drug use.
You know what? I think it's a really smart, progressive European approach.
I'm positive my wife is going to do mushrooms with at least my son.
Soon? Because can I come over?
I won't be here. That scares the hell out of me.
I've got mushrooms in my spice cabinet.
I've got some mushrooms, too. I don't really know what to do with them. I tried eating them, and there was a time, it's so disappointing. I've been over this a million times. I don't need
I know.
To belabor it, but it was so good. And then it just went so wrong. And it pains me. I would actually like to think that maybe at some point I'll get to some sort of finish line emotionally, psychologically in life where I'm like, you know what? You won some, you lose some, you lost some, but this is it. It wasn't so bad. What do you really have to freak out about? And then I'll finally relax somewhere comfortable. I'll pour a cup of tea and I'll eat, a 16th of an ounce of mushrooms. In 45 minutes, I'll be like, all right, impending death. That's what you have to worry about.
It's the worst.
Knowing that you're going to die?
No, just that feeling.
Oh, bad trip?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's even worse. I agree.
It's the worst. The worst thing in the world. But have you tried microdosing?
Yeah, that's why I have a bag of them upstairs right now. I've got like a pretty impressive little assortment of drugs for somebody who doesn't really do them because All I right. don't do them because All I get right. my hands on them here, there, and everywhere, and then I'm enough of like a reformed junkie that I'm not gonna get rid of drugs, and I kind of like having a box that I can open and be like, oh, I could do this or I could do this or I could do this. But the point is, I just look at it and put them back away until it comes up a year later when I'm taking out Christmas ornaments or something like that.
Jesus, Narcos.
But yeah, it's funny, yesterday I was at the place where I started microdosing, which is the first place. I was by myself and I like wanted to go to nature. I know a really good place to do mushrooms in Los Angeles.
Where?
Griffith's
Observatorium. Is that a word? The Griffith Park Observatory.
I don't know that I would. Yeah, I guess you could do them at the observatory. Griffith Park in general is a great big park. That's generally a good place.
Oh, it's place.
My place is, this is not going to mean anything to almost anybody listening to this, but do you know Kenneth Hahn?
The Kenneth Hahn Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right on the, like, it's on kind of on the west side-ish.
It's by La Cienega, like yeah. going down to the 405. Apparently, I only learned this yesterday because when you travel around with like a 18-month-old, or she's actually almost two, I got to stop saying that. You see lots and lots of details because they move so goddamn slow and then retrace their steps and then find a rock and then lose the rock and then get pissed that they lost the rock, et cetera, et cetera. That I read a plaque. It had been a reservoir. And at one point in like the early 60s, the reservoir gave. And what it was there were deaths.
Like a flood?
Mm-hmm.
How did the reservoir give? Like, did the ground around it get loose?
It was some combination of maybe faulty materials and a series of small earthquakes, because that's where we're living.
And so the water came flooding down?
It flooded from La Brea to La Cienega up. The street names don't mean anything to anybody. But yeah, lives were lost. Homes were destroyed. And they said, well, let's just make this a place for people to do mushrooms.
Well, Godspeed. Thank you for that flood, because we need places to do mushrooms.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is a solid spot.
Why not just your backyard, like after your kids are asleep? Do you have a backyard?
I do not have a backyard.
The lovely life of living in the city, of living in a city where rent is the equivalent of someone's student loans. It is so exorbitant here. Do you ever think or daydream about living in a rural, like, existence?
I try to think about that. I don't really know where I'd want to go. I've definitely spent a lot of time now thinking if things are going to like fundamentally change in our culture moving forward, which I'm an optimist. I'm not a pessimist. I think that we will put what's going on right now in the rearview mirror. We will assimilate it into, without forgetting, you know, our notion of reality in the world that we live in the same way that we did with like terrorism and September 11th and stuff like that. But you can't help but wonder if this town's going down. Like,
yeah, I feel the same.
Like, for example, New York. I love New York. New York is in my bones. And I always felt kind of bummed out that I got there after the glory days, which were, to most people, the shitty part. Like, you knew all these people, like, oh, so-and-so's got a loft in Soho, and they just squatted there in 1978, and they lived next door to Basquiat, and now they still live there, and it cost, you know, it would cost $20 million if they sold it. Not even just because I want to own an expensive place, but because, you know, all of the culture and the cool stuff that was going on there, but now it's gotten kind of silly and, you know, the Gap has moved in and it's got become sort of a Disney-fied version of itself. But like if I was living in New York and New York went to shit, I'd be like, oh, cool. The glory days are back.
Right. It would just be like a retro experience.
Yeah. Yeah, all the losers who moved here after Friends went back home to cry into their mama. This is great.
If there is a city to survive a, you know, societal, like, cataclysmic sort of push backwards, it would be New York.
Yeah, right. Whereas L.A., I've honestly grown to love Los Angeles, but I think by putting roots down here and having, like, cool memories I associate with my kids and stuff like that, but, like, if this wasn't a cool place to work, there's... The negatives of this place would really start to bum me out.
Oh yeah.
Quickly. And I'd have to get gone. And I've given some thought to, like, I wouldn't want to do a shittier version of my life now. I would just want to cut the cord and be like, well, I never thought this was going to happen, but I'm going to make lemonade out of lemons. I'm going to lead a new phase of my life that I had never expected, never planned on. I'm just going to
change careers, become an avocado grower, and just become a whole different me and see what that's all about? Like, what is your notion or plan of, not avocado, I think it's something else, but what is your notion or plan of what you would do if life as we know it, not civilization crumbles, but, you know, like tough times, depression. Nobody really needs to see the funny lady making the stoner jokes, you know, at the Chuckle Hut.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Because there's probably at least 22 people that are like, excuse me, I would. My version of haven beyond this immediate moment, I see it. It's a cabin. It's been in every fucking movie, every action movie, where like the guy who's retired, the retired CIA guy, lives in this cabin on a beautiful lake, and he wakes up in the morning, he has his coffee, he's fly fishing, there's dogs, and he's got llamas. That's me. I'm that guy. In a cabin, I'm pregnant, I'm on my sixth kid, I've got llamas, Larry and Gregory, they're twins, they're roaming free-range llamas, I got chickens, okay. I got a werewolf, I'm not done, I have a werewolf, I have mystical creatures, Loch Ness, Nessie?
Yeah.
My emotional support, mystical creatures in the lake.
You're right there at the lake, you may as well have a Nessie.
And Sasquatch. Now I'm done. Those are all the animals. Those I'm on. It's like I'm Joe Exotic, but the nice kind.
So I was with you when you were just like the retired law enforcement official and former Marine who gets pulled out of your idyllic existence for one last job.
One last job, Rick. I don't know if I can do it. I don't even know if I know how to fly the chopper. And he opens a barn, and it's a fucking.
I guess where you threw me off a little bit is where you mentioned that Rick has got five kids with a sixth on the way.
It's 2027, Mike. You have to realize that shit is changed. You know, men are women, women are men. I'll be able to have I'll be able to become a man and have babies, and then like I won't need to get married because I have both.
So you're a self-impregnating man.
I am a
who chooses to just keep on knocking yourself up over and over again.
Yeah, slut. I'm also just a
Say no to me.
I can't say no to myself.
Rick's all man.
I'm there on a farm. I want the family life. That's what I want. Beyond this, if this city crumbles, fucking out. I'm gone. I'm gone. Right. Bye. If Hollywood's like, I guess we're going to Zoom from now on. We can no longer do production. I'm Zooming my ass from some other greener pasture.
Yeah. But where? Really?
Probably Colorado.
You think so?
Yeah. That's okay. My man's got some roots there. So we'll go there. He builds stuff. He can build things. I'll make semi-decent dinners. And I have a whole yard filled with creatures.
Right. Yeah. All of these mystical creatures and children that you've made asexually.
Yes.
It's every one man, woman's dream.
I will break standards. People magazine will come back just to write an article about me. It'll be a feature with me on the front, but
People magazine still exists.
Well, I mean, it'll go down and then it'll come back just for this feature.
Oh, I see. We're coming out of retirement.
Because Rick
is back.
We got
the inside scoop on Rick.
Rick is back, and it's just me on the cover in a flannel and a mustache, and I'm in my third trimester.
The crazy thing is I can't picture the life you're describing, but I can easily picture the People magazine cover that you are.
Right? It's just like, it's kind of like American Gothic, but I'm alone. It's just me in a pitchfork. Yeah, it's just me in a pitchfork. It's me in a pitchfork. I doubt Derek would want to date a woman who became a man, but we'll see. He's a very open man. He's a very loving man, so maybe he'll love me as a man.
We're all going to have to open our minds a little bit as we move into this post-apocalyptic future.
This post-Pokemon future.
That's right.
Was that the remix?
I wonder where... It's going to be tough when... because I can handle the shame and embarrassment and futility of life being unable to fend for myself, but it's going to shame me so much to be unable to fend for myself in front of my children and be unable to fend for my children.
Yes.
Because I keep on thinking about this one weird lady that, and I think she was weird.
I'm right here.
I took a, you kind of look like her, kind of like a Bridget Fonda. I went to Belize, and we have mentioned this to you recently, and there was just, I went to this one crazy little island that had like probably less than 200 full-time occupants, and it had like a restaurant. We went to the restaurant, and you know when you go to like the crazy exotic out of the way place and you like pick up the real estate thing, the circular, and you're like, my god, dude, do you know that you could actually get a place here for like $65,000?
Yeah.
And then you go home and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Who the hell would actually do that? But when we were there, we found the lady who had actually done that. She'd gone like fully native, and she was like raising kids, and I don't think there was a school on this minuscule speck of an island
who
in the Caribbean.
One?
So I think that she was like homeschooling or something. And it was a very, very, very humble operation that she had going on there. But all of a sudden I'm just like, maybe she was the one who had this actually all figured out. This is definitely like the biggest like chest bump victory lap ever for doomsday preppers.
Yeah, I think so too. Absolutely. Like
they
people
are
who
fucking
are doing
pumped.
It, they are like, fucking told you.
That's
they're
right.
Just,
I'm
they're pacing
up, I'm
in their
the
bunker.
Good, the good corned beef hash tonight.
Who wants peaches? You guys want canned peaches for dessert?
I actually think they're better than fresh.
They're just pacing around in their bunker, just taking inventory every day. We only have 672 cans of beans left.
Right.
They're
at this rate, we're only good for 14 months.
Bro, I don't know if we got enough for 14 months, man. We might need to get some more potatoes from the farmer's market. We're not fucking purchasing anything.
We're not going up there. We don't need it.
I mean, I would, this makes me want to be a doomsday prepper. I just want a pantry filled with stuff and like snacks. It would all be gone. Like I wouldn't be prepared. I just would have everything and then I would use it all and it would all be gone. And my knives would be broken.
For what reason?
I don't know, because I don't know how to use knives. Every time I open a knife.
Because I think they're can openers.
My boyfriend got me this, like, I mentioned it once. I was like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to have like a buck knife. And so he got me one.
Wait,
and it's the kind
that, which one's a buck knife? Hold on.
It kind
keep
of
talking.
A buck knife is the one that kind of closes and latches and you got to push a little pin in or something and it opens. So it has like a little trap door per se to open it. So he gave it to me and then.
Are you sure you're not describing a switchblade?
No, it's not a switchblade. I'm not. This isn't the Jets. This isn't a Broadway play. When you're a jet all the way. Anyways, I'm a thespian. I opened the knife to like, I don't know what I was doing. Chopping, you know, if you have a knife, you just look for shit to stab. And I cut myself just opening it. I was like, gah, 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 like stab myself. I've stabbed myself with every knife I've ever had like that.
My wife owned a butterfly knife when I met her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, she got a ninja?
I don't think so. I think she's just more of a thug.
Yeah, that's some like Bone Thug and Harmony shit.
Yeah, I know they stopped her trying to get on a plane with it one time.
Those are the ones you kind of like, right? You like flip it open and
if you're good at it, I think most of the time you just
is it how she met?
How she and I met?
Yeah, like did you did she whip it out?
We met on Craigslist and she was unarmed at the time. But we couldn't find the butterfly knife for a
Wait,
long time. And then
back up. Back. What? We have to back the train up a couple stops.
Go ahead.
You're just going to plow over the fact that you said you met your wife on Craigslist? Were you selling it? What kind of couch did you have?
I had.
Did you go to
funny?
Sell a couch and you guys boned on it, you little minx?
I tried to rent her a room in a house.
In her vagina?
In Silver Lake, close.
For those of you who don't understand LA geography, you'll still get that joke.
Do you know what's funny? The entire, like, the roof, the ceiling of the room that I was trying to rent her eventually collapsed on the person who did end up taking it.
What?
It was such a crappy room. It was, like, made out of plywood and cardboard.
Entire house. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that you met your wife as a potential roommate off of Craigslist?
Yes.
So she didn't move in with you?
No.
Then what where in your...
Oh, I made my move. As soon as I met her, I just really, I loved, like, I just loved what she was picking up, what she was throwing down. And
her butterfly knife?
See... Yeah, like I didn't know that she had a weapon, but she definitely struck me as someone who who might have some exotic cutlery at home. So I
can picture you with a thug, man. I really can. Not that your wife is a thug, but
No. But I often dream about that. There's this dominatrix that comes on the. I would be such a good husband to a dominatrix, right?
You'd be a good submissive.
No, it's not that.
Yes, it is. It's okay. It's a safe space.
No, it's funny though. I just know that I would be that. She'd be like, you know, I just spend all day with like whips and vomit and blood. And I just like coming home to you and just having a cup of tea and putting all that behind me. Like I actually picture myself bringing out this woman's mild side.
Yeah, see, you're a project manager. You wanna heal. You're like the one who's driving along the Pacific Coast Highway, and you see a girl who's just kind of out there thumbing it. You know, a hitchhiker, and she's you snatch her up and you put her in your Subaru.
There used to be a space for people, troubled women, in my metaphorical Subaru, and it took me a long time, but thank God. This is why people can't get married when they're too young. I know it works out for some people.
You gotta wait.
Every time you say it, somebody will say, I met my wife when I was 18 and I'm so glad that we're just 10 extra years that we get to be together. Like, I know that it happens, and that's wonderful if it works out for you, but
it happens in 6 towns in America that have a population of 300 or less.
You're not thinking with your heart when you're 18. You're almost like playing with your like neuroses.
Yeah, or just it's play. It's really just everything's play. You're just trying shit out. Oh, I'll make my hair purple today. No, I'll quit my job. I'm not gonna pay rent. Like you just make dumb decisions and you don't even consider what's beyond those decisions. Like getting married.
Right, exactly. Which is fine. Getting married is pretty meaningless when it comes down to it, just as long as you don't have kids.
As long as you don't have kids, and as long as you don't have, like, you know, some wild trust fund that you don't know how to protect, or just as long as you don't have, you know, you're not married to somebody who's kind of murderous, or, you know, which can swing both ways. And I beg to differ that I think women are probably much better murderers. We just haven't been caught. Did somebody just fall down and hit their head on cement?
Most likely, yeah.
Okay. I just think that there's all types of, you know, dynamics in the relationship that can make it go pretty bad.
There are precious few female serial killers. Is it because they're not, I'm not trying to be sexist, but is it because they aren't physically capable of pulling it off? So they're just like, that'd be great. Lord knows I'd love to string up 10 or 15 people, but you know, I'm going to get overpowered.
I don't know. Judging by the sound of your daughter in the background, I think you got a successful one on your hands that you're growing. I don't know what that demon growl was.
She's got moxie. I put something up on my Instagram. She's just sitting around the other day going, die, die, die.
Did you show that to Jason? Jason probably loved that.
It's just another day around here.
I had this joke I was developing about female serial killers. And I think there's just as many of us. We're better at hiding. You haven't caught us.
Well, okay.
We're better at cleaning up.
Joking aside. Oh, I see. But joking aside, like maybe women would be better at not getting caught, but I don't think they're so good that they could get away with not at least having their murders linked. Like that the authorities would know that there's one at large. Why isn't there
maybe
a female serial killer that just kills chicks?
Maybe there is. I mean, maybe there is one out there. We don't know. There could be. I mean, I think the problem with women is that we love too much. we just love too much. We don't have as much murder in us. But then, you know, you look at bitches like Carol Baskin, and she's tossing her husband in the meat grinder, and then you're like, well, maybe we do have it in us. I think it's just a matter of equality and us feeling confident enough to feel like we can also be good serial killers.
That's right. We don't encourage girls enough.
No, we're told that we can't do it.
So girls are just like, I'm feeling really stabby. Oh, but I could. Look at this Zodiac killer. I could never do that.
I'm not as good as him.
I should probably just open a cupcake shop or something.
Yeah, I'm just going I'm gonna sew. I'm gonna sew. I'm just gonna sew. Even though, you know, she, that's what she does. She likes using sharp things, and instead of sewing skin, which is what she really wants to do, she's sewing dresses. And she's not living to her full potential. Women, this is the problem. Women need to realize that our full potential is just on the other side of this whole equality trash. If we could just become equal, we can be also realize our ability to be a good serial killer.
Wait, so say that again? Where do women need to get? I get the serial killer bit.
I think women, our problem is this whole equality thing, and we've been told that we're not equal. And once we realize that we are, we can become the serial killers that we were meant to be. And we wouldn't kill innocent girls like you freaks. We would get people who deserved it, like our touchy uncles and guys who linger too long. You know, the ones who put our hands on their hard dicks. We're going to get those, not just girls on their way to school.
Yeah. Yeah, we're kind of due for like a real, like, good, high-profile, solid gimmick serial killer.
Hell yeah. I Googled it, man. There's only like...
There's quite a few. No. There's more than that.
Listen, throughout history, there's only been like four notorious, quote-unquote notorious serial killers. And they're not even good. Their numbers are low. There was like one woman in the early 1800s who like killed her husband and one other guy. And then there was like one other chick who maybe killed a couple. We're in the single digits. Then there's Eileen Wuornos. She was just getting rid of perverts. Is that a serial killer, or is that just like doing some house cleaning of America?
Just taking out the trash.
Thank you. So there aren't any women. There hasn't been any women out there with the numbers we need, like the championship numbers we need to even get on the board. That's the problem.
Okay, so according to some dumb show on A&E, there are currently about 2,000 serial killers at large on the loose plotting their next victim in the U.S. right now.
That's not a real number. That's what show said that? 2,000?
Good luck sleeping tonight.
Is that the acronym for our podcast? Does that work?
Clap.
Good luck sleeping tonight. It's an acronym. That doesn't match. Shh. Just shh. Don't look into it too much. Shh.
And now I see here, modern life has made it easier for serial killers to thrive. Because I think we'd all generally be under the impression that it used to be, I mean, so much easier. You just like, just make sure you don't like leave your passport at that house on your way out, and you'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I think I heard that there's somewhere between like 90 to 100 people in the country. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about worldwide. I'm talking about the whole country that are like quote unquote active serial killers. I heard this on a podcast, so I don't know. I don't know the validity of it. I think it was like Science Versus, which is a really fun podcast. They basically debunk things with science. You know, like people saying there's 2,000 serial killers in the country. That's a lot.
Or you eat 90 spiders per year.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, how would that even be counted? Did someone poop and there's like, oh, there's 8 legs in my turd. How would you even know you ate a spider? Can you tell me that, like, honestly?
Good point. That's right.
Who's checking that?
That's not a job.
It's not a job.
Nobody's got that job.
All of this shit is just to fill us with fear. It's all about fear. There's 2,000 serial killers. I got to buy a home security system. You eat 8 spiders a night.
Let's say there's... You eat 8 spiders every day, bro. It's true.
Dude, you swallow 6 murder hornets every Tuesday.
That's the way it is.
It's something to do with like the northern hemisphere when it faces the sun. It's science.
So let's say there's 100 serial killers working right now, fully operational. How many would you guess are women?
Less than 5%.
And why is that?
There's more men in the world.
I don't actually think that's true.
No, but I said it with such conviction. You weren't sure.
Well, no. I was trying to figure out how to tell you just how radically wrong you are. For some weird reason, I know the reason why. I think that the population, it tends to work itself out to where there's like 51 or 52% females.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think
because guys can keep on, you know, procreating with all different, you know, as many different women as they care to, and we'll let them, but but there's only so many available wombs at a given time, so there needs to be a slightly right. more.
There's a limitation to the wombs for sure. There definitely is a limitation to that. But I think the reason why a majority are men is because of the nature of a man. I mean, 90% of the world's homicide is caused by men. And this is a number that I've looked up.
Right.
90% of the world's homicide, 90% is caused by you dudes, not us, you. Right. So you tell me why you're out there killing bitches. Why are you guys doing it?
I wonder what it's like in like all female situations. I'm trying to think. The only two that I can really think of would be like a female boarding school.
Right.
And like a convent.
Ooh. Okay.
Cause nuns are like low key satanic.
Yes. Well, it's an addiction, and it can be cultish, you know, when on the other side of religion, it can get a little creepy, a little deepy and creepy in there. Yeah. You're either dealing with the wild witchy nun or just like a sex deprived dude.
There's a more low key scandal that has never really gotten the press with, you know, in addition to the clergy abuse from men in the Catholic Church, there's some really creepy stuff. If you look it up with nuns, and not so much sexual stuff, but like there's a story that starts a very well-known article written in a very prestigious Boston Globe or something like that. And it basically starts with like a kid comes flying out like a third story window of an orphanage.
Okay, that's the beginning of the movie Omen.
And then you look up and the nun's just like kind of like, oh, you're right, it is Omen.
Yeah,
but there's something I watched Omen recently. I swear to God, though, I'm going to find the link, though. It may have even been based on it. There's something really creepy.
We can't trust your facts. You're getting your facts from horror movies, Tully. Okay, can I tell you this one bit of information? I know we have to go, but it's...
We got to go, and then I'm going to tell you about the family that met a Sasquatch in Washington State and actually just brought him home, and he lived with them. It would have been fine if it weren't for the meddling neighbors.
Okay, one fact before we go. One fact that men tend to hunt their victims, who are often strangers to them, and female serial killers tend to gather their victims, targeting people who they know, often for financial gain. We're just smarter. You guys are just hunting for game. We're hunting for gain.
Solid. You go, girl.
I'm the poor girl's life coach, bitch. If you need a Roth IRA plan, just kill your uncle.
I'm gonna find that link, because you're right, it is the Damien movie, but it's also a thing that really happened.
It's not.
We gotta go. No, it is, it is, it is.
Figure out what clap means, please.
Okay, we will speak in a week.
Maybe, if you're lucky, if I haven't killed you.
Jesse May Peluso.
Tully.